Welcome back to your extended news at noon. I'm Tracy Morgan. Today we are going to be talking to breast cancer survivors. We have a couple of different guests with us today for them to share their stories about what they went through. And so our first conversation is with Kathy Wesley, and Kathy is with me today. Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you being here.
And we were just talking before we decided to go ahead and get this taken care of, your testimony, I guess, on tape. I guess I'm dating myself, right? Back on tape. But the testimonies, I think, of someone in your shoes is so important because I think it makes women feel not isolated and alone. But I want your take on that. Why do you feel that your testimony and others who are survivors are so important?
I think people need to realize they're not in this by themselves. They're not just one picked out. We need to be a group. We need to be supportive of one another and know that there are people out there that have dealt with this. And the best thing to know is we survived. We made it. And that's important.
So let's walk through this a little bit. Because there are many of us out there, many women who have not had that diagnosis. There are many women who think about that diagnosis, what would I do if? And then there are many that are in your shoes who have survived. And so take us back to that day, that moment when you got the news.
Well, I always went in for my normal mammograms. And I mean, there's no history whatsoever in my family. And when they said to me, we saw something on your mammogram. We just want to take another look. And I said, okay. I didn't really think too much about it. Then they came back and said, well, 20% of the time this is, you know, it amounts to something, but 80% of the time it isn't. And we're sure it's going to be the 80% of the time. So once again, I went into the biopsy thinking that I was one of those 80%. And when I saw the number come across my telephone, I realized I was one of the 20%. And I just thought, well, okay, my first words are, am I going to survive this and what do I have to do? I didn't really take time out to think about anything else. I went into the fight mode instantly. And my first thought were about my children, my daughters. Is this something I passed on to them? And I needed to get as much information as I could to find out how I was going to attack this situation.
And I respect you quite a bit for that because I always wonder what I would do if that would come. You know, I'm sure some women start to panic. Some people are in your shoes that say, no, I'm going to fight this immediately. What do you tell those women who have gotten that diagnosis recently who aren't in the same mindset of I'm going to fight and I'm going to survive this? Maybe they are panicking just a bit more than what you described.
Well, the first thing I'll tell them not to do is to go onto the internet and look up their diagnosis. That's one of the scariest things you could possibly do. And that's one of the first things one of my doctors said to me is whatever you do, don't go onto the internet and look up your specific diagnosis. The next thing is I tried to find people who I knew had it and asked them what they did. I went by suggestions from people who had already been through this disease.
And locally.
Locally.
Right? I mean, you're talking to friends that are local.
Right.
So you're talking about the doctors and the treatments and what they did and how they, the support groups. I mean, everything would be locals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I didn't go to any of the support groups. I depended on my church family,
okay,
my friends, my family and coworkers at work, they were wonderful. And that's who I counted on.
So let's go back to that moment when you found out you have that mentality of, hey, I'm going to fight this. What do you do next if you're not supposed to go on the internet and find out information? How did you know what step to take first?
Well, I asked my family doctor. I mean, he called to see how I was that day. And I said to him, am I going to beat this? And he said, you are. And I said, what do I have to do? What's my first step? I went to him, and he guided me and told me what I needed to do. So I did. I made an appointment with a surgeon, but that surgeon was 3 weeks out. And I thought, I can't wait 3 weeks. I don't know how fast this is, and it's very hard to live 3 days knowing you have this diagnosis. So went to church that Sunday. I was diagnosed on a Wednesday, was at church on Sunday, and two of my church friends have had it, said to me, you need to get a hold of this certain doctor. he specializes in your type of cancer. So I thought, well, he's a specialist. What are my chances of getting in? But I decided I was going
to try.
Be aggressive and try. So I called the doctor's office on Monday, and of course we played telephone tag all day. And later that afternoon, the PA called me and said he has a cancellation for Thursday.
Oh, my.
And I thought, well, this is meant to be. This is, you know, I put this in God's hands, and this is meant to be. So I went on Thursday, and the very first words he said to me were, congratulations for being smart. You just saved your life.
So when you talk about a type of cancer, what did you have? Because if you're hearing that from a specialist, was it a pretty severe type of cancer?
My cancer was an inductal carcinoma, but it never would have been found if I hadn't had a mammogram. And by the time they found it, it probably would have been too late.
How long ago was this? And I ask that because we've gotten into like the 3D mammograms and those that really go in depth and give those who are conducting the mammograms a different look at the picture. So how long ago was this?
I was diagnosed the end of June 2014.
Okay, so just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Did you have the 3D or did they have the 2D? Do you know?
They did not have, they had the 2D at that time. Now, since then, I have had the 3Ds. But I didn't have access to that in the very beginning.
And the reason I wanted to ask that, because again, I'm hearing you say the doctor said you just saved your life. It wouldn't have been found if you wouldn't have gone. And, you know, we're in the age that we are. So how important it is to go get a mammogram because of how they can detect what they can detect.
Well, they went right off. What happened was because I was so good about going every single year that they could see a slight difference in the mammogram from the previous year. If I had not had that mammogram from the previous year for them to compare, they don't know if it would have turned up as rapidly as it did. They may have said, oh, we'll come back in 6 months. But because of me having a steady mammogram, they realized there was something that wasn't right.
Could they tell you how rapid that this possibly could have grown? Do doctors know that, or at least in your case, did they know that?
They didn't really tell me how rapid. At the beginning, they said to me, if you do the surgery, you need to do the surgery, is basically what they said, which was fine. I mean, I was going to follow what my medical doctors told me to do. They said, if you do the surgery, you have a 75% chance of it coming back if you don't do anything else. If you do the surgery and the radiation, you have a less than 10% chance of it coming back. That was a no-brainer. So I did the surgery, and then I did the radiation.
How was the radiation for you?
I had 32 radiation treatments in 20 sessions. Okay. In the beginning, it was not bad. In the end, it got a little tough. But you have to understand, I got up every morning. I worked every single day. I did not change my routine because I felt in my mind, if I changed my routine in any way, I was giving into it. And I was not going to let it win.
How often do you go for mammograms now?
Now I go, I've passed that 5-year mark.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you. And I go once a year for a mammogram. My doctor's appointments have been cut down considerably. I still have probably about 4 a year, including the mammogram. But that's fine, because every time I get, I have a panic in my heart right before I go. But when I walk out, I just want to leap for joy because I've made it one more year.
So tell me if you have any concern about it coming back, or even the doctors. Do you think about it possibly returning? Did they give you a percentage of the chance that that could happen?
Well, I have a less than 10% chance that that can come back. Do I worry about it? No, I'm not going to let my life be lived by worrying every single day. I'm going to live my life to the fullest, and I enjoy every day. And if it comes back, then I'll fight it again like I did the first time.
What is the survival rate? Do you know? I'm not exactly sure if you know numbers or in this area, or if doctors talk to you about that, or did you go on the internet?
No, I did not.
No, okay. I stayed off
because the one time I did, it scared me to death, and I'm like, right. Well, why did I do that?
Right, right. You know, I was told not to.
They told me not to do that, and I did it anyway. You know, so I did stay away from it. For the main reason is, you can look up information, but don't expect to have the answers concerning your cancer. It's not going to be, well, you know, this is you, this is what you should do. It's an open range, and sometimes you don't fit into that range, and it goes more toward the negative. It doesn't go more toward the positive. You have to have positive. And I love Christmas music, and so I played Christmas in July. You know, I played my Christmas music going to and from work, and I stayed away from things that were depressing, and I just decided I had to do it my way.
And I'm not a doctor, so I say that often on this show, I'm not a doctor, but I've talked to many doctors who talk about not necessarily an association with cancer, but what stress can do to a body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I can ask you this, but I think you're answering it. How important is it to stay positive?
Oh, it is so important. I mean, you surround yourself with people who are positive, and, you know, you are going to have some bad days, and it's okay. I mean, it is okay to say, I'm done with today, and, you know, and go to sleep, make sure you get enough rest, and make sure you eat properly. I always made sure I had some kind of an energy bar or something at work, and the people at work were fantastic. They could see if I was tired or something, they would say, why don't you go sit down and we'll take care of this next one. So, I mean, the support is, I can't tell you how important it is to surround yourself by one, positive people, and two, supportive.
And where can people find a support group? I know you said you depended on your church mm-hmm. family. Your work family seems to be fabulous in, mm-hmm. in helping you out there. There are people who don't know where to go. They don't know what that first step is, and maybe they don't have that environment around them.
Right.
So what would you suggest to them?
Well, for one thing, your family doctor has, if your family doctor, your gynecologist, your radiologist, any of those individuals have information on support groups. I know there was a support group in the, used to be the Eastland Diner area.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where you had your mammogram. The women there are absolutely phenomenal. They can give you information on it. There's lots of places you can go.
In the new buildings with the Butler Hospital.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I only chuckle because I've talked to many of the doctors, and I say, I'm done with saying the new building, because every time I talk to you, you have a new building.
Right.
But over there at the Crossroads campus.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Always having a new building with the hospital, but great doctors with the hospital and in this area as well. And you stayed in the area, right, for treatment?
I went outside the area for the surgery.
Okay.
But I requested to stay in the area for the treatment because I felt it was necessary not to spend that hour on the road back and forth and having the stress of getting involved with traffic. Plus, I wanted to keep it locally because I felt if I kept it locally, I wasn't a number. I was a person.
And that's something we hear often about mm-hmm. in this area, you know, us working right. together and trying to help each other, and we care about each other
right.
in this county. So mm-hmm. that's fabulous that you did that. Let me ask you one final question, Kathy, if you don't mind. What is your message from your journey? I've heard it often that your test is your testimony, and you know, you've had a test. So what is your message that you would like to pass along to other women?
I think you need to realize not to let cancer live your life. You need to live your life. You need to, keep a positive attitude and keep that one step forward and be your own advocate. No one else is going to tell you how to run your life. You need to take charge, and you need to, I don't even know how to put it. You need to stay positive. You need to know you are not the only one out there that has this disease. there's a large group of us, and there's a large group of survivors. You have to realize there's a large group of survivors out there, and you're going to be one of them.
And for a lot of folks who shy away from support groups, it's interesting to see their transformation, if you will, once they get into an element where you know that you're not alone,
mm-hmm.
and then you know that you're in the company of a lot of other people who know exactly what you're going through.
And may I add one more thing?
Yes, please do.
When I was going through all of this, we have a number of friends who are doctors, and they're the ones that said, you have to be in charge of your life. So I started a notebook, and each doctor's appointment that I went to, I asked them for a copy of what they told me. I asked them for, you know, for all the information about that appointment, and I kept it in a book. And I highlighted certain things that they said. Then when I had my next doctor's appointment, I had this book. And if I had any questions, I had them highlighted, because some days you're just not thinking straight and you'll walk out of that appointment and say, oh, I should have asked this. Oh, I should have asked that. I had everything in my book. I had everything in my book from my other appointments with my other doctors, and it was all right there. And I think the doctors actually, I had one doctor tell me told me he appreciated the fact I was that organized and I had taken my life in hand and I was in charge.
Especially with the terminology. I mean, again, when I talk to doctors, I'm constantly saying, okay, can you explain what that
right.
means? Because I don't understand their terminology. They're well-versed in what they have to say.
Right.
But when you're not living that life day in and day out, it can get confusing. So what a great piece of advice to other women, even if they can start right now and start that book and be able to take it with them to doctor's appointments.
I carried it everywhere. I mean, I took it to work in case somebody called me. If a doctor's office called me, I had it with me at work. So, and I had that highlighted of what questions I needed to ask. Or if I had any concerns, I would write them down for my next appointment, or I would call and say, if he has a moment, could he please call
sure.
me? And I had, because they're busy, and I had it written down to the point of what I needed.
Yeah, Kathy Wesley, a breast cancer survivor. I love the pink that you're wearing right
Thank
now.
You.
I love it. I wish people could see it. But I love the pink, and I love the fact that you came in to share your story and that you continue to share your story with others to encourage them through this time in their lives. So thank you very much for coming in today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And this is a very important month. Please remember, number of my friends had not had mammograms, and my one friend I told I wasn't going to talk to her until she got one.
And she got one?
She got
All
one.
All right, there we go.
Yeah,
so you're still
did.
Friends.
Yep, we're
Good.
Still friends.
All right, Kathy, thank you so much, and you take care.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And now I'd like to welcome in our second guest today, Janice Pontius. And she's also here to share her story as well with being a breast cancer survivor. I always love saying that because
yes.
it has such a positive ring to it.
Yes.
But thank you very much for being here. I
Certainly.
Do appreciate you being here as well and sharing your story. And, you know, take us back to your moment. As we've been asking different women, what was your moment like? It's different for everyone.
Right.
So take us back there to that moment when you heard those words.
Well, mine was 15 years ago, so I feel quite blessed with that. But I had just gone for my regular checkup, mammogram, mm-hmm, actually. Mm-hmm. And when they read the mammogram, the doctor came out and said, well, very suspicious. You have some clusters of calcifications, and they're rod-like as well. So we would like to do a biopsy. And so I'm like, okay, fine. You know, whatever we need to do.
Sure, yeah.
And I kept those key words in my mind. And naturally, they say, don't go back and get on the internet.
That's what we just talked about. Yes, right. Don't go on the internet.
Right. But I did because I thought she said they're very suspicious. And I kept rod-like and clustered in my mind. And I went back home and researched that. And everything that I researched was coming back that most likely would be cancerous. Had myself prepared that it was. But until I got that phone call that said that it was, it just still took me by surprise. 15 years later, I can talk about it, but you remember how you felt at that time. And I was at work when I got the phone call. So I naturally had to leave because I was just overwhelmed. But I have a sister that had breast cancer 10 years prior to that and was doing quite well. So You know, I didn't know what I had to fear, but I think just the fear of hearing the word cancer just sets you back.
It takes the breath out of you.
Sets you back.
So what happened next? And you don't have to take me moment by moment when you went home, but generally speaking, when you went home, did you already have support there? Did you have to find support? Did someone else have to make the next phone call for you? What was that?
No, it was very supportive from my coworkers, obviously sitting around me. And when I went home, my husband and my kids were very supportive. My sister, my best friend, was diagnosed about 8 months prior to that. So I was her support. She was my support. So, you know, it's very, that means everything, being able to talk about it. Not having cancer is not always a death sentence. And so you have to remain positive, and having that support system of your family and friends really does mean a lot.
To ask you, are you in a different spot now than you were then? I mean, I think that's self-explanatory. You are. But what does that mean to you? Because a lot of women who have not had those words spoken to them, I think, still fear those words. And you have now gone through that, again, 15 years later.
When I would go in for my mammograms, I would be very apprehensive. Still, to this day, I'm hoping that there's nothing there. But in the beginning, you're much more apprehensive than you are today. And it's 15 years now after the 5 years that, you know, that's when they really watch you for the 5 years. Then they say you're cured. So I don't, it's not, it's always in the back of my mind, but never in the forefront of my mind.
Let's talk a little bit about what you did go through. So you have the news, and then you do move forward. What were your options? Did you have options? Did the doctor just say this is the best way to go?
Gives you suggestions, and like I said, I was very fortunate that my friend went through it just like 8 months, 9 months earlier. So I used her same surgeon, her same oncologist, you know, things like that. I felt very comfortable. So I moved very quickly. Within a week, I had an appointment to have my surgery. I just had a lumpectomy. And then they took some lymph nodes as well. No, they didn't take the lymph nodes the first time. They just had the surgery. And then they said that it had just started to invade. It was a stage one. And so they wouldn't want to go back and do some lymph nodes. They took out 4 lymph nodes. It was not in any of those. So that was wonderful news to me, because being that it just started to invade, I would need radiation. But it wasn't in my lymph nodes, so I did not need chemotherapy. So that was refreshing news to me.
Right. When you say that it's not a death sentence, how are you convinced of that? And I ask that honestly, because I have not been there, and a lot of women have not been there, and that's why I wanted you to be in today, and I appreciate your time to tell your testimony. Sitting here not having those words, I can't imagine what I'd go through. So I'm just trying to get your thought process on how did you stay positive? Did you have down days? How did you get through those down days? Walk us through that.
You do have some down days, but you have to look at what you have ahead of you. At that point when I was diagnosed, I had a daughter in college, a son that was getting married. You know, I had a lot of things to look forward to in life, and you just can't let it get you down. Mm-hmm. You really have to remain like, wow, you know, I'm still young, and
right.
I want to live. If you let it get you down, it will get you down. It's a positive attitude thing.
So
it really is.
Tell me what people have not walked those shoes. What do we say to you? What do we ask you? Do we just go about our day as normal? Do we cry with you? What do we do?
Well, I think whatever the person needs, because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a person that needs an everyday how are ya, an everyday hug. Just knowing that your friends are there and how are you today? Don't need details, you know, things like that. But everybody's different. I mean, there are people that need hugs every day to be mm-hmm. reassured that they are loved. Sometimes just hearing the words, that I love you, that's enough to get you through the day. So it just depends. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But I really will say a positive attitude is a lot of the game.
So 15 years later, that's a long time, which is fabulous.
Yes.
How often do you go back for checkups at this point?
I go every year for my annual mammogram. And for many years, I had a diagnostic mammogram where there was like a doctor right there that if they needed to do anything additional testing or anything, I would have it done then. Just more recently, I would say in the last 3 to 4 years, I just have a regular ma'am. That if they see something later, they call me back, you know. So, and that's usually what most everybody has, is just a normal mammogram where, you know, if something's found, they call you later to say, we need you to come back in.
How do you handle those moments where they say, we just want to check you and come back? You've been through this, you know. Yes. It's like, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's high anxiety.
Right,
It very much is high anxiety. And, you know, I've had additional issues on my other breast. And so, that is very, takes you back. Because it is something you don't forget. You put it in the back of your mind, but you don't forget it. It's like having a baby.
Yeah, right? Can't forget those days.
Right.
But I'm so glad you're here, and I'm so glad you're doing well. What if women are listening today and they're either just going through that initial diagnosis, or if they're sitting back and hearing you and saying, oh, I hope that isn't me someday. And it could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell us?
Well, I think, number one, getting your mammogram annually. Don't put it off, because they are so, so very important. Mine was caught in a mammogram. Calcifications are these tiny little, teeny little things that are even sometimes missed in a mammogram, you know, because they're so tiny. But if you get caught, catch it early, you can be cured like I am. And it's so important. Like, if you wait 5 years, it may no longer be calcifications. It may be a lump. You may need a mastectomy, you know, something like that. After I had my treatments, I did go to the breast support group at the Butler Hospital. Very, very helpful, because it makes you feel grateful. That I was almost embarrassed that I was there, because I thought, oh my heavens, I'm not nearly as you know, these other women that are at this group.
The conditions
are going through
aren't
chemotherapy.
As bad.
They have no hair.
Right.
You know, they're trying to deal with their issues. Sometimes they're multiple cancer. They have breast cancer and uterine cancer and other things. But they remain positive, and it really helps you see, like, oh my heavens, I'm not going through half of what they're going through, and look how positive they are. So it really is, and you hear other stories as well. And so that was very, very helpful, going through that. I was, like I said, I was almost embarrassed that I was there, but it was a helpful journey.
It makes you not feel alone.
Right.
You know,
right.
And you realize you're not alone. And we've talked on this program many times about support groups in general. I find people in a general sense saying that kind of thing where, you know, I don't really want to be here. This, I don't want to talk about. Then they turn around and say, I'm so excited to go. This is what I want to do.
Right.
And it's almost like I've heard it said, I am one of those people,
right,
where beforehand people are embarrassed to say, I am one of those people. And then they're proud to say, yes,
right,
I am.
Right,
I am. So I don't know. What's your thought on that?
It's another positive note. It gets you through a difficult time. There's people in there that you didn't even know had breast cancer, but you knew them. You're like, oh, I know her, and I didn't know she was going through this. You know, so you sort of have some reacquaintances with people, too. Maybe it's just somebody you even saw them on your travels back and forth to work or shopping at the local store, and you think, oh, I see her shopping all the time. And then you think, oh, there's a connection, you know? So
right.
I just think it's very, very important. Do you need to do it forever? That just depends on yourself again.
Right.
Once again,
right,
it's everybody's. I don't go to the support groups anymore. I needed it initially, but I only really did it for about the first year, because I think at that point I had gone beyond it. Even though I wasn't clear of my 5 years, I had gone beyond where I needed that assistance.
But even when you're going in that period of your life, you never know what you're doing for the next woman who walks in the door, because you then may be the inspiration for the next person.
Right, right.
And so do you find that's where you are right now, in helping others and giving back and telling your testimony today?
I do. I think it's important to be able to talk about it. It's still emotional, mm-hmm, as you saw.
Sure.
It's still emotional years later, but it helps. If it helps one person get through this, it's worth it.
I just talked a couple of minutes ago about the 2Ds versus the 3Ds. 15 years ago, you would have been on the 2D mammograms, right? I mean, you didn't have the 3Ds
the images,
images that are so clear. Not that they weren't then. It's just, you know, 3D is different than what we had way back when, I guess you could say. So I say that because it's important to go and get your mammogram. Mm-hmm. And what would you? How would you express the importance of this?
Oh, it's everything. It truly is everything, because early detection is the key. It's maybe the difference between just a lumpectomy, radiation, or chemotherapy. It just depends. Like, if you wait, then you're into a different stage, and different stages require different treatments. And I say the less treatments you need, the better off you are. So, you know, that's why, you know, at first I had to go every 6 months for my mammograms, and then it was backed off to every year. And now it's every year, too. So, but they're very, very important.
I always say your test is your testimony, and you are one who has had your test.
Yes.
And now you're giving your testimony, which I think is so important. And I think that's what people really connect with, is knowing that there's a face behind the voice and you have a real story. Did they talk about survival rates with you? Is that something that concerned you during your journey?
Like I said, I was very fortunate. I was only stage one, so I was very fortunate. But they did say that if I don't have the radiation, that there would be a 25% chance that it would come back. To me, that wasn't a very good odds. I wanted it not to come back at all.
Right.
So I went ahead with the radiation. So, you know, they'll give you numbers depending on the stage of the cancer to say, hey, this is what I recommend. They're the experts. It's just like everything else. You have a doctor or a specialist that's their field, and they know. They've seen millions, thousands of patients. Everybody is different. Once again, I say that because different, you know, treatments can affect people different ways. But, you know, I left it in the doctor's hands and in God's hands.
Yeah. As you're going through your journey, as you continue forward in your future, what message would you like people to take from what you have lived?
A positive attitude is everything. Early detection is everything. So while it's inconvenient to go up to the wherever to get your mammogram, to the hospital or to the clinic to get your mammogram, it's a half an hour of your life. You have the rest of your life to live, you know. So that is nothing. That little bit of, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, for those few moments.
but it's well worth it.
Yeah.
And so a positive attitude and early detection is total key.
Janice Pontius, of course, is with us, a local individual. We'll just say you're around the area. You don't have to give your address, but you're local. And did you have the procedure done locally? Was your care done locally?
No, I went to UPMC McGee.
Okay.
And had and mainly that was because of my friend who had just gone through it. Mm-hmm. I just picked all of her same doctors, and she felt very comfortable with them. I did too. I mean, top first class individuals.
Yeah.
I have no regrets of going there for my treatment.
Sure, absolutely.
But I had my radiation in Butler.
Sure, yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, care for this issue and many other issues are just, it doesn't, I don't say it doesn't matter where you go. You choose where you want to go, but there's great care in this field.
And you have to feel comfortable with where you're going. Some people don't want to travel into Pittsburgh. To me, at that point, that was not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Later in life, and if you know, at that point, my husband would go with me. It really wasn't an issue. All my surgeries were outpatient. Never anything. I don't think they keep you anymore.
Yeah,
We've changed so much.
Yeah, I know.
But some people would feel that that's an inconvenience, and they would want a Butler doctor or something. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to feel comfortable with who you choose.
Absolutely. Janice, anything that you'd like to share before I let you go and get on with your day?
Not really. I just think I'm blessed that it's been 15 years. My friend's also a survivor for almost 16 years
now.
So, and my sister is a 30-year survivor of breast cancer. So, key, and all those were detected through mammograms. So that's why that is so, so important, because it could be the alternative if you don't go.
Congratulations for 15 years and many blessings as you continue in your journey. Thanks for being here.